Hello, and welcome to another edition of Graphic Audio's Behind the Microphone. I'm Jason Pantaloons, and joining us today is Richard Rowan, the director of the Deathland series. Now, first question. You play Ryan and Jack. Where did you come up with the voices for these characters?
Well, Ryan is a variation on when you work as a vocal actor and you start to learn what the range of characterizations that you can create with your voice is. You look for different ways in which you can color your voice and give it distinctive qualities so that you can play as many different characters as possible. Most of the actors that work here, including myself, come from the tradition of narrating traditional audiobooks where there is one narrator and he's creating all the characters. And this was good training for me and for other members of the crew, because you had to come up with as many distinctive voices as you possibly could, just to keep track of everybody and to make it a live story, to do a good job on the audiobook, basically. So I developed the ability and a cast of characters, as it were, that I could pull from and hopefully create variations on and have room for creating new characters. But one of the most obvious things to do with your voice is to put a little rasp into it. In the leading man palette of characters that I could play, one of those was the raspy voice guy, who sounds kind of like this. When I had done the Destroyer series originally as a solo narrator for another publisher, that was the voice I used basically for Remo Williams. It was kind of a raspy guy. And when it was clear that I wasn't going to be doing that character again for Graphic Audio, I applied that texturing of the voice to Ryan Cotter, because it seemed to make sense. It was a nice tough guy sound for his kind of terse action hero dialogue. And so I applied that. He's a very different character from Remo, actually. But the basic sound was there. Jack Lauren I took what was in the text, that he was a teenager. He was a young boy when we first meet him. I believe he's 14 or 15. He's pretty young. And he's from the Bayou. So I listened to Louisiana dialects, and also he speaks in a rather pigeon form of English, depending on who the authors or which writers are writing the Deathlands. He speaks in a rather terse fashion. So I took that type of rhythm, I applied the Bayou dialect to it, and I made him younger. I pitched him in a high place in my voice, and so just to make him sound younger and different from the other characters. That was basically, a lot of it comes from the purely technical necessities of making the voice sound different, but it's all filtered through the characters that are on the page. Jack was a little difficult at first because it wasn't a dialect that I had become proficient at before the Deathlands. So it took me a while to get a handle on him and also to make sense out of his dialogue, because quite frankly, on the page, it's hard to know what he's saying most of the time. Hopefully, when you hear it interpreted, it's a little clearer to the listener what he's saying. But when you look at those lines on a page, it's like, what the hell? We pad some of his lines sometimes to make it clearer to the listener than what is on the page, so he doesn't sound like Tarzan or Frankenstein a lot of the time. So that's the long answer to that short question.
I see. All right. What part of working as the director of the Deathland series do you enjoy the most?
I like working with the other actors and discovering new characters that we can create. I like the horror aspect of things, creating new monsters and sounds of monsters, and I derive great satisfaction when we can actually pull off the more horrifying aspects of the series. I get a lot of satisfaction when something actually is fairly scary. One of our most successful books at accomplishing that, because it was a terrifically written book, was Deathlands 74, I think. The title of it was Labyrinth. And it was really neatly constructed. And the post-production guys did a really good job, and the performers, in creating a very claustrophobic environment. Our heroes are trapped in a very contained sewer-like space, and there are these really well-conceived monsters that are preying on them, and it had kind of an alien quality, like the Alien films, among others. And I enjoy when we can pull that off. I enjoy when we can pull off humorous moments, when the characters work successfully enough that things can actually be funny. Or even on the rare occasions when the characters are allowed to show their vulnerability and their emotions, and when it rings true, I find that pretty satisfying.
Right. What part of directing do you find the most challenging?
The most challenging? Well, probably the most challenging aspect of it is the way we have to work to create. We have to sort of build this thing in pieces, in piecemeal, and it's a very... the actors are working apart from each other frequently, so to create dialogue that plays together as if they were reacting off of each other is always a challenge, because we cannot gather everybody together to create these scenes in a normal organic fashion. It has to be constructed in a way that's analogous to filmmaking, where you take scenes out of sequence. You put all the elements together to create, hopefully, something that holds together in an organic, coherent fashion. So that's always a challenge. Sometimes the cast size of these things is staggering, the number of characters we have to create and distinguish them from each other and make them sound plausible. And the number of actors we've used has expanded over the years. But it's still a challenge. There's seldom a time when an actor is not playing at least four or five different characters. That's always a challenge.
I see. Very interesting. Who is your favorite Deathlands villain?
My favorite Deathlands villain. Well, there's a favorite villain that I've played, and then there's my favorite villain of all would be probably two different things. I guess Court Strasser is the most heinous villain that I've personally had to play, because he's just so psychotic and incredibly evil, and he says and does some pretty horrifying things, and it's always liberating to play a character who's so just remorselessly unadulterated evil, or composed of unadulterated evil. I kind of like, there was a character that Nanette Savard played that was Pyrrha Quad. It was in a very different book that was kind of certainly an homage to Moby Dick. He took the original author, Lawrence James, took all the elements of Moby Dick and tried to fit them to a Deathlands plot, and did a pretty good job of it. And it was very interesting to have to be able to do Moby Dick in the Deathlands. And her character was. It took us a while to figure out how to pronounce her name, because it's spelled, I believe, Pyrraquadde. And I was like, Pyrrha? Quaddy? What the heck is that? Until somebody, I think it might have been Terrence, figured out that that's Pequod. The boat in Moby Dick, the ship, I should say, in Moby Dick is the Pequod. So Pyrraquad, Pequod, that kind of went together. But she was a neat character. She was this giant, horrific female captain of the ship, who was every bit as intimidating as her male counterparts, perhaps even more so. Just a really nasty thing. That was a pretty neat villain that Nan got to play.
I see. Last question. Given graphic audio's unique form of entertainment, what scenes do you usually find the most challenging to successfully pull off?
The hardest scenes are the ones that are written really for the page, that are very conceptual, that don't translate really easily to audio. Either scenes that have a scale that's very huge, you know, battle scenes, cast of thousands, or scenes that have a sci-fi concept that's difficult to translate into an audio format. Those are always a real challenge, because while the ultimate success of those scenes is frequently in the hands of the final post-production engineer, they have to be conceived in the preliminary stages, and how they're recorded, how the script is adapted to make it an audio experience. Those are particularly challenging scenes. The scenes that frequently handling action that has a lot of description in it, knowing what description needs to be left in the text for us to know what's going on, but not get in the way of the tempo and dynamics of the scene. A lot of the time, because these are, you know, obviously books that are written to be read, not performed out loud, they're over-described. They're given with a lot of detail and nuance. In particular, in the Deathlands, they love to lovingly describe gruesome deaths. We can create a paragraph's worth of gruesome death descriptions with a single gushy sound effect. So frequently, figuring out what needs to stay and what can go, and how to economically time when the sound effects fall, what vocals will sell what's happening in action-wise. A lot of the times we'll add character reactions of screaming or yelling or laughing or grunting or sighing or whatever to really sell the sound effect or sell the action that's being described. Those are always really challenging, and a lot of the times they're particularly challenging because they're hard to map out in advance. A lot of the time in the recording process, things will occur to me as I'm narrating. I'll start to think like the director and figure out, okay, now wait a minute. This is narration, but it should be a line of dialogue, or vice versa, or we can cut this out and just make it a sound effect. Things like that.
Well, thank you for joining us, and this has been another edition of Graphic Audio's Behind the Microphone. I'm Jason Pantaloons. Good night.